Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
Today I wanted to talk to you about some of the problems that are going on with Microsoft Windows 10. Now, it's still Windows 10. It's been Windows 10 for a couple years. They kind of do an upgrade here and there, but apparently Microsoft has said that Windows 10 is the platform of Windows that is going to evolve over the next decade or so, or until they decide to do some other name of an operating system that they intend to market once this, you know, craps out. So for right now, it's Windows 10, but it's new. It's a new type of Windows 10. It got upgraded and pushed onto a lot of systems, whether maybe you wanted it or not in some circumstances, like original Windows 10 maybe. But with these sort of forced upgrade systems, I guess there's a lot of computers or a lot of people that are sort of running into blue screens where you just never even reinstalled an operating system. What does that mean? You know, like just all these lots. I don't understand why this is better. It seems like something, if I, as a power user, I would really try and restrict those kind of activities that are going to be reinstalling operating systems on my Windows machine. I understand the security implications. I know all the holes that existed in all those Windows XP systems that never got, never got patched and were just running online without, you know, any kind of security or anything for years, probably decades. They were running important, sensitive information within companies and within data systems forever. So a lot of opportunity to do better than that. But man, definitely, I would be so frustrated if I had some kind of Windows 10 reboot problem that I didn't even know about. Ugh, it would drive me crazy. So.
You can see more of my work at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
Today I posted a photograph from the Owyhee Canyon area. It's like really remote Southeast Oregon territory. It's really cool out there. I've only gone out there a couple times, and really, truthfully, it would need to be, I don't know, it just needs to be explored much more than what I've put my time into it for. But it's just so remote. It's amazing how it is out there. Like, what we did is, when we came in from Boise, we drove down, and through that, you're kind of in the Owyhee area as it kind of flows into, I guess the Owyhee would flow into the Snake River, somewhere around like Ontario, Oregon. But up above that, I guess the Owyhee goes up toward Winnemucca, which is sort of what I understand, or at least kind of it stretches on up there a little bit. I was hearing about, we ran into this guy, this kind of eccentric mountain man up when we were in the Wallowa Mountains, and he had talked to us. He stopped for a second. He was in like hiking pants and, you know, a jacket with a handkerchief on. He was probably in his 60s maybe, and he had told us that he was a, I don't know what he was. He was an enthusiast. He'd been out there for maybe like a month or so. Maybe he said like 4 or 5 weeks of being out in the Wallowa Mountains. And he had his partner going back into town to get provisions when we ran into him. But he had a tripod and a camera, and he was walking around, or he was on a hike through the Eagle Cap Wilderness trying to find these trees, this type of pine that's being affected by climate change. As the climate gets warmer in the alpine area, as the temperature starts to lift in elevation, it changes the types of tree species that are able to live in the alpine area there. So I guess it kills them off as the temperature gets higher for the certain type of pine tree. That's like, was it like a 2-needle pine and a 5-needle pine? Something like that. But apparently, I guess that's what this guy's working on. So he's trying to work on a photo project for this. He talked to us for a while, though, about the Owyhee Canyon, about the Snake River, and about I guess about how before the dams were built, the salmon run would flow up the Columbia River, up the Snake River, up the Owyhee River, and you would get salmon run all the way into the interior area of Winnemucca, California, or Winnemucca, Nevada, way out there. So it's just really weird how it would kind of pull up these smaller tributaries of the Columbia from the ocean all the way back into the central part of the state of Nevada, too. So kind of a trip. But it was interesting to talk to that guy for a few, and then when we were out in the Owyhee area, it goes on for a really long time, but there's a few different sections of it. It's a big river, right? Like, so it's a whole territory of land that sort of meanders through that section of Oregon. But really beautiful landscape out there. What we did is we went to Rome And then there's like the Pillars of Rome. That's this this area out there. But then off from that, you can drive south really for quite a for a while on a dirt road. And then you pull around, and we took like this really bumpy little road, like a little access road out to this point. And we took some really cool photos of the Owyhee Canyon. It's really pretty right there, at least in the spot that we were taking photos of. But it's cool. I guess if you go a little further, you can pull into this this Three Forks region. I think there's a dam, or there's maybe there's a few dams on the Owyhee. It seems like that's kind of what I've noticed from it. But there's this backed up area where you can go in. And what I want to do is I want to get a kayak, and I want to set up a camping trip and kind of do like a backpacking trip and just throw the backpack in the kayak and then cut across the water, you know, kind of cut down the Owyhee River and then pull out on different sides of it, you know, over a couple of days and do some camping and do some photos. But it seems like a really cool place to explore the Three Forks area. I guess, was that like the Trout Creek Mountains? It's maybe somewhere near there. Maybe it's not too near to there. I guess that whole area stretches up in a pretty expansive way. Like, so from the Owyhee section, then we drove over to like the Burns Junction. And then you have to drive past that, and then you're pretty close to the Alvord Desert. That's when we're driving west, right? So we're way out east, like near McDermott, Oregon, Rome, Oregon. I don't know. It's way out there. I hear that, like this week in early October, I hear it's hunting season, and I guess that's a huge area for, or it's a big district for some of the bigger mule deer, and I guess the elk that are out there. I guess that's a big area to go hunt elk. But I've also heard, like, the fossil area, there's probably plenty of drainages that that work out as good hunting lands for this time of year, for whoever's into that. But, yeah, I've just been working on some photo stuff. So, yeah, the photo from the Owyhee Canyonlands area is posted. I put that one up. I worked on it for a little while, trying to do some editing stuff. But, yeah, it's really cool. I like that area. I really want to go back there and spend some time there for real, you know. That's a tough thing, is it's so remote sometimes, and you're kind of moving over a larger amount of land mass that whole region just sort of would take a week, maybe more, to kind of get into and explore. And I bet there's a lot of new, interesting photos and visual things you could see down there. It'd just be a cool adventure too. It seems like such a cool spot that's not really seen by a lot of other people. So I don't know, an interesting thing and something to put on the opportunities list for next season as we come back into the camping zone. But yeah, it seems like you're going to have a couple months here, like winter in Oregon always is, of it kind of turning down into a little bit of a slower time for the outdoor adventure, outdoor camping, travel stuff.
You can check out more information at billynewmanphoto.com. You can go to billynewmanphoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at billynewmanphoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it if you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon. That's patreon.com/billynewmanphoto.
Couple updates of some of the stuff that I've been putting together. You know, I got a Gitzo tripod. It's kind of cool. I don't know if you guys know about that. There's a couple different tripod manufacturers. Seems to be the popular ones in the United States amongst the pro photography crowd. But I'm sure there's lots of other stuff out there. And I know, you know, it gets hyped too much. There's a lot of stuff with three legs that works great for tripods. But I was on Craigslist, I was looking around, I was perusing, I found this super good deal on this vintage Gitzo. It was this one built in France. I think since then they moved to Italy. I think now they're an Italian brand, like it'll say made in Italy. These older ones, it says made in France. I think it's like Gitzhopper. Maybe it was a German guy. That's what it sounds like, Gitzhopper. But, yeah, I guess it turned into Gitzo as the tripod name when they started doing that. But I got this weekend performance tripod. It's this kind of silly, small travel tripod. I think it's about 18 inches tall or so. And it's got these steel legs. It's got an extendable set of aluminum tubes that run out. And it gets real flimsy, like when you get it above waist height.
as a tripod. So it seems like it'll be kind of an interesting sort of backup travel tripod. But it's real sturdy, or, you know, it's real set. It's a Gitzo. It's a good tripod. It's well manufactured, even though it's, you know, 35 years old now. I think it was probably made in the early 80s. And I bought it from this this old hobbyist photographer guy out here in Oregon. I got it for a steal. I was thinking that primarily that's a big reason to pick it up, is if I buy it for the price it's listed at, I could list it now and get more than that much money. I could flip it and get a good return on the investment that I put into it. And I could hang out, mess with the tripod for a week or two, put it up online, have that thing sell, and I could make more cash off of it than what I paid for it. You know, the cool thing also is I got this, the set of Gitzo legs. Those are nice, but with it, and kind of the secret prize that might almost be worth more than that, is I got this Leica. It's that kind of side Leica name and brand. You know, there's the Leica cameras, but I guess a lot of their gear, maybe even some of their other stuff, it was kind of sort of bought or half bought or bought out. It was, or there's two guys. There's like the Leica guy, and then there was this Leitz guy, this L-L-E-I-T-Z guy. And they both kind of own Leica. So there's sort of these kind of confused names around some of the stuff. But it's this this Leitz ball head, this tripod ball head. And it's really nice. It's kind of this this brushed aluminum finish on it, and it's got the ball head on the top with this wing nut that swings closed to lock your tripod wherever you put it. But it looks like a really tight, nice little tripod setup. Especially great for a traveler or someone that was shooting with a light film setup. It would be awesome. So I know it's a little bit of the away from the direction that I've been moving with some of the photography equipment I've been procuring recently, but it feels kind of good. It's cool having a vintage Gitzo tripod around. And it feels good, too, that I could sell it. Or I could make some bucks back from it if I needed to. But it's kind of fun having that second tripod around. I've been trying to think of more long exposure, more fine art landscape stuff. And, I think I maybe mentioned a minute ago, in the U.S., there's two big tripod brands. There's Manfrotto, which is what I bought the last few times around. Right now I have a set of carbon fiber, what is it, like the mag fiber set of legs for my Manfrotto tripod, and those are great. Those are like the best tripod legs. They're outstanding. And then I've got this photo head that goes on top of it, which is acceptable, but it's got that three-way locking head. I think I really want to get something a little simpler, more like a ball head or something that's just a little bit more flexible for some of my needs. But really, it's just this quick release plate system that's on top of the Manfrotto, and it just really doesn't seem to work for me all that much. I guess it does enough. It works as much as I use it, probably more than that. Maybe I can just throw that Leica ball head on there. Doesn't seem to match up super well. But if I get a chance to, I guess why not? So it's kind of cool. Been messing around with that. I've been a fan of like the Gitzo tripod brand stuff for a long time, and I think it's kind of cool to mess around with that. But the way that they're built, it's just super sturdy. It's cool.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on billynewmanphoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts. All pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at billynewmanphoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.